Chapter 1. London, Winter, 1891. It was the moment I'd been dreading, the moment I hoped not to experience for some time yet, the arrival of Lady Ryecroft and her middle daughter, Charity Glass. Thankfully, Matt braved their presence alongside me in the drawing room of our Park Street townhouse. Aunt Letitia was there too, although she said very little after the initial stiff greetings. Aunt Letitia had a fractious relationship with her brother and sister-in-law, having been forced to live with the overbearing couple and their entitled daughters for years before Matt arrived in London and set up house. Bristow bowed out of the drawing room and closed the doors, leaving me to pour the tea and slice the sponge cake. Lady Ryecroft didn't even wait to be handed a cup before she got in her first cutting remark of the afternoon.
"We've been back in the city for 5 days. And you have not called on us, India?"
"I've been busy." That was rather an understatement. A mere week ago, I'd been investigating the murder of a toymaker magician, researching gypsy curses, stopping an automaton from running amok, and trying to get answers from a government spy. There was also the rather significant occasion of Matt almost dying after being shot. If it hadn't been for his magical watch, he would not be sitting in the armchair with a frustrated expression on his handsome face. I think the frustration came from being closeted inside the house this past week rather than a result of his aunt and cousin's presence. For an active man like Matt, being cooped up here was tantamount to being imprisoned. Lady Ryecroft accepted the cup and plate from me.
"I know you're not used to the way things are done in polite society, so I hope you'll take this as helpful advice, which is how it's intended. It's the duty of the junior members of the family to call upon the more superior members when they return to London."
She lifted the cup to her lips and gave her sister-in-law a sideways glare.
"I expected Letitia to guide you in this, as in other things."
"She did," I assured her before Aunt Letitia retorted that she didn't want to see her.
"I would have called on you before now, but as I said, I've been very busy."
"And what is more important than welcoming family back to the city?"
The icy undercurrent of her tone left me in no doubt that she could think of nothing more important. I sipped and let my gaze drift from her sensorial one, hoping my silence would put an end to it. Matt was in no mood to give in, however.
"Murder," he said simply.
Lady Ryecroft gasped. I threw Matt a sharp look. "He means investigating a murder, not committing one." He returned my look with a tight smile, and I could almost hear his unspoken "yet." Charity looked up from her slice of cake, showing some spark for the first time since she'd sat down.
"How thrilling! Was it that toy maker? I read about it in the newspaper. Was he really murdered by his own toy, that medieval knight automaton?"
"His wife killed him," Matt said.
"But the device did the actual strangling."
Lady Ryecroft made a sound of disgust in the back of her throat, and Aunt Letitia went a little pale. Although she sometimes overheard our conversations during an investigation, we tried to keep the worst of the details from her. Matt ignored Lady Ryecroft and focused his attention on his cousin. There was a rigidity in his shoulders and an intensity in his eyes, both signs of his frustration over the misinformation about magic that circulated among the public.
"The automaton no more killed him than a knife can stab someone of its own accord. Mrs. Trentham wielded the automaton like a weapon."
Charity met Matt's gaze with her own, but where his was dark with simmering anger, hers was bright with enthusiasm.
"One could say that magic was the weapon."
Matt's jaw hardened.
"No, one could not say that."
Before Charity further stirred the pot she'd inadvertently placed over the coals, I cut her off.
"Let's not get into a philosophical discussion now. Speaking of magic," Lady Ryecroft went on, "India, do you know where I can find a fur magician? My fool of a maid didn't pack my fox stole properly and the moths got to it. I thought, if I have to get another, I might as well get the best."
At my open-mouthed stare, she added,
"I'm willing to pay handsomely, of course."
This must explain the reason for her visit,